You're listening to the Photo Facts Podcast. Visit our world headquarters at photofactspodcast.com.
Good morning, Robert Trawick.
Good morning, Jim Felder. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great on this fine post-election day.
Oh, you did you just tell me on the way over here we're not going to talk about politics?
I'm just saying it's post-election day. That's all.
That's politics.
No, not necessarily.
That is politics.
So we're here again at Bedford Camera.
Yes, we are. Bedford Camera on the post-election day.
Yep. Oklahoma City, 30th in May or something like that.
I have to say, if we're going to talk about that, I'm very surprised.
What?
With the results,
okay,
of the voting,
we weren't going to talk about it. We're just going
to. I just have to touch on that. You know, Nikon was voted the best camera.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I missed that part last night.
Yeah, you missed that part. Yeah, it was neck and neck there for a long time between Nikon and Olympus.
Right.
Canon was down at the bottom. And No. It's all good.
So we want to promote again the PhotoCon for next March.
Yes.
Bedford Camera hosts, you know, the annual PhotoCon. This one is going to have none other than
dun, dun, dun.
Joe McNally. No, don't go there. We go there every episode. Let's go. Joe McNally.
We need to ask Joe McNally. How do you pronounce his name?
Yeah, let's do. Okay.
Then, we have a special guest, too. Don't forget.
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And also the film festival. Go to bedfords.com.
It's Bedford's International Film Festival.
.com. Yes.
.com.
I was going to say that, but I wanted to also say bedfords.com.
And let's give a shout out to the guys at CaptureTV.tv.
That's right.
Because I always forget the .tv part.
I know, yeah.
Because it's like redundant. It's like TV.tv.
I know.
So, but hey, that works out good.
It does. So, yeah, Travis Garrett and Haley Garrett.
Yes.
Jeff Moore. Jim Felder.
Felder and Robert Trawick.
Yeah.
You know, we should get some really awesome people like our host or our guest today.
Our guest today, yeah.
Like James Pratt.
Hey.
Welcome.
I made it.
I was going to actually
rode my motorcycle in this morning in November.
Yeah, on a bum knee.
On a bum knee, which is definitely awesome.
I ride every day, just about. So.
Yeah, I ride in my brain. I have not ridden my bike this much this year. I have just been so overwhelmed with photo shoots, and I have not made...
That's a good problem.
It is, but I haven't made one of those motorcycle-ready kits.
Oh, yeah. I've got one of those.
So why don't you tell us about that? Because, I mean, I think that's pretty awesome that you have got your kit pared down.
I have multiple kits.
Am I staring at one of your kits?
No, that's just my backpack, my laptop.
I don't know. Were you staring at his kit, Jim?
Well, first off, you know, a little about me. I'm mostly nowadays an editorial photographer. I do magazines and which is not the same as newspapers, but magazines. I do write and so some commercial photography, mostly editorial.
When you talk about editorial, because a lot of people may not know exactly what editorial is.
Oh, shoot for magazines.
So it's basically just a shoot for magazine type thing, and it's not really like a news.
Right, it's not like an Oklahoman.
Exactly. It's not
hard news. It's totally different. Actually, it's totally different than hard news photography. Because I was thinking about that on the way over here. We actually get permission to do the photos. News not necessarily does that.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't. They consider that if it's newsworthy, it's like a public domain type thing.
Right, and you know they don't ask for permission. They just get in there and take photos. Mm-hmm. And for that's not really my. The way I work, my deal with magazines is we're more invited in. Mm-hmm. We don't do hatchet jobs, you might say. It's my job is to make the subject look cool.
Now, can editorial photos be edited? Is it not like the news, or is it like the news where you can't?
It really depends on the publication.
Okay.
Usually for most of my publications, no.
You can't, take things out of the photo.
Yeah, it depends. Yeah, you can color correct and things like that. But it really depends on the publication and their ethics.
Yeah, right.
And their voice.
Yeah.
So you really, some publication, fashion photography on, magazine photography for fashion, they Photoshop the crap out of it. We don't. you know, for, but if you're shooting something for like a, I'll do some stuff for Oklahoma Day, and they're real strict.
Yeah.
Because they're the official record of the state of Oklahoma. They
true,
don't wanna,
yeah.
You know, they don't want to Photoshop anything. So.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Yeah, you mentioned you don't do any hatchet jobs. Well, probably in your magazine, but our, I mean, editorial can be a negative.
I shoot for a lot of different magazines.
Right, but yeah. It can be a negative article as well.
Yeah, they don't call me for that. They would call probably a news photographer for that. You know, somebody that's really in-depth, and that's just not what I do, yeah. Yeah, I'm usually, most of my work is feature. You know, I usually shoot a lot of covers, and, you know, they want somebody important, noticeable, or, you know, nice cover, and then you know, I shoot a lot of stories, you know, personal interest stories.
And you write
a lot
those.
Of photography. I you, do write. Yeah. I write a fair amount, yeah.
Yeah.
I probably shoot, probably 60% of my work I photograph and I don't write, and probably 40% I do write.
Yeah.
Maybe 30% I do write, and 70 I do for other, somebody else writes it.
Mm-hmm.
But, so anyway, but you back to the kits. Motorcycle
yes,
kits.
Let's talk about the
so,
kits.
So what I do on my bike, I mean, I carry, I have a lot of different things I do. I ride motorcycles and I do stories on horses and ranches, and I do electrical linemen. I do studio. I do all kinds of stuff. So I have different kits made for different
projects. Yeah.
And I'll have a, you know, one is my really super light motorcycle kit. Because sometimes I'll go for, well, one time I went for 3 weeks on a motorcycle camping. So I had to carry camping gear, clothes, and all my gear for three weeks out through the western United States. And I had three different assignments I was working on.
Now, can you talk about those? Cause I know we know about them. I'm not sure if you're supposed to say it, you know, publicly.
Yeah, those have been published a long time ago.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Okay. No. What about that one where you had the, was it Indian that gave you a motorcycle?
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty fun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. They gave him
so,
a motorcycle to drive.
Borrow.
Well,
to borrow for a
yeah.
week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how
brand,
cool is that?
Brand spanking new Indian to ride, drive for a weekend.
That is freaking awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
I thought that I was so jealous when I was watching your Instagram feed. I'm like, oh, my God. Maybe yeah. he'll drop the bike and I'll have to go fill in for him.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so I have a, you know, that's kind of what, I'm a mostly Nikon shooter. And but I kind of that's where I got my Sony at
uh-huh.
and my Sony A7II.
Yes,
and
yes.
A7R. I'm sorry.
A7. Is it A7II R?
I don't have the newest one. I got the first generation.
Okay,
but anyway, they're tiny little bitty things. I carry two lenses and the camera and fit it in my backpack, and man, you can do a lot of work with that. So.
Have you tried that MetaBones adapter that you can
yeah.
mount the Nikon lens?
Yeah,
on
but
there?
Then you're I might as well just take a Nikon, right?
Right.
Because the whole deal is small. So if I'm going right. to put a big lens on it, I might as well use my body that I already got, you know.
That's a good point.
Right.
I was trying to sell my wife on, you know, getting one of those, and I'm like, hey, we don't have to buy any lenses at the beginning. And she's like, yeah, but what's the point?
What's the point, right.
Exactly. Why are you going to have this, like, and she
giant lens
really
and a small camera.
is that, she said, wouldn't that be a lot of stress on the mount? Have this gigantic yeah. big lens and this EDB tiny thing. How are you going yeah. to balance that while
yeah.
you're shooting?
Kind of defeats the purpose. I mean, I got my Nikon DF.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
it's a nice camera.
Yeah, those are real small, and even the I haven't shot D750, but those are pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, if you're gonna take a big lens, you might as well take the camera to match it.
Right.
So
right.
the reason I got the A7 is I put Sony lenses because they're tiny. I mean, they're really small. You put the whole package, man, you can fit it in a small backpack and have a lot of room left over and yep. do a lot of work.
It was weird when I got that 750. It was so much smaller than my 700. You know.
Yeah.
It is. Yes.
Weird. But finally. Got used to it. I mean, quickly.
So, on your motorcycle kit, is it mainly your Sony kit then?
Yeah, usually. It used to be my DF kit, but now it's about as big as two bread boxes. About mm-hmm. as big as a bread box. I could go for a week on, you know, doing photos with it. But now my Sony kit's the size of it's like a half a loaf of bread or less.
Yeah, it's like nothing, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they're tiny.
What lenses are you using on that Sony?
I use two. I really just shoot with two right now because I haven't bought any more. I shoot with a 50 and a 28, and that gets me, man, I mean, I get a lot of work done.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty awesome. I talk about the 50 mil lens. You know, we always call it the Nifty 50, and it's probably the cheapest, sharpest
yeah.
lens that you're
yeah.
ever going to own.
Yeah.
And it used to come with all the cameras.
Yeah.
You couldn't
yeah.
buy a camera without the 50 coming with it.
Yeah.
And
I wish they
today
still did.
Even today I use a 50 all the time.
Yeah.
I love
that
the
about 50. A 35. 28-35. That's my sweet spot.
It would be I think it would be better a better starter kit to have that than to get these
These
cheaper
Zooms
1855s, you know, it's like
horrible. Right, yeah, that's like a 3.5 to 5.6. Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, when I zoom in, everything gets shaky. Well, you just cut down your light by like 8 stops or something, you know. Yeah. But yeah, yeah, that 35 is like my favorite.
Yeah, I'm about probably closer to 20. 35 I like a lot, but probably 28. Either 28, 35, they're pretty close to.
Yeah, they're pretty close.
Yeah.
But that was the kit we had in the military, is you got a 35, a 50, and a 135. And yeah, that was your three-lens kit to do basically all your stuff.
You can do a lot of work with those three lenses. A
lot of work with those lenses. Then we had the little locker we'd go in, and one of my favorite was the 20 and the 16. Those 16-millimeter Nikon rectilinear.
Yeah.
God, that was so sexy.
Yeah.
That was
nice to have one of those.
Yeah, but that was like my boring lens kit. If they say, oh, yeah, it's another admin person standing by their computer in their office. They just got an award. That was my, I got to try and make your office look awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
so yeah. I think so many people get caught up in the big zooms and the big, you know, 70 to 120. I mean, I've had several 7200s.
Yeah.
He used to have several of those. I seldom, if ever, use that lens anymore. I have one just because my gear got stolen about 4 or 5 years ago.
Right.
And when I replaced it, I didn't buy one. And I went for 3 years without one.
Wow.
The only reason I have one now is because I did some horse trading for an old beat up Tamron. It's just mainly because if I'm out and it's really, really dusty, I don't want to be changing lenses. So I can't be swapping lenses around, and you mount your, you know, 2470 and 7200, and you don't have to change.
You're good.
Yeah, you don't get dust all over everything.
Yep.
And so, but other than that, if I can change lenses, I mean, I seldom shoot that 7200. Very seldom.
And we use it a lot.
Yeah, doing
portraits. Because we want that compression, and we're trying to get something different.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so we'll back up basically walkie-talkie distance.
Well, if I want to do that, if I want to do that, I pull out my 200 F2. That is a kick butt lens. I mean, I get that thing. I shot a lot of magazine portraits with that thing because it's just, I mean, you can, it's just not like everything, you know, you can tell it.
Oh, yeah.
What a shot with that thing.
Yeah, I know, because I got to tell you, I have a woman crush on Dixie Dixon, and the only thing that made her look more beautiful is when she was holding that Nikon 200.
Well, I tell you, F2. You know, as a pro, part of the deal, you know, used to when I was an amateur and even beginning, you know, you're kind of, you get the gear craze, yes, and you know, I can afford it, I can get some different gear, but nowadays it's not that much anymore. And for me, the lens really needs to pay for itself. And that 72, I mean, that 200 F2 I bought it brand new, $5,000 expensive lens.
Wow.
Very expensive lens, but it has paid for itself many times over. I've got a lot of work off that lens. A lot of money I've made on that lens.
Yeah, it's so, that thing is sexy.
Yeah,
and it's unique. It's just very unique.
It's a unique.
Everybody
it's
a unique has a 7200.
Look. Yeah,
not very many people have a 200 to F2.
No.
I could just shoot in 200 millimeters all day and be like that.
Right? That's gonna be hard to shoot howls at 200 millimeter.
Well, no, I'm talking about for the other stuff.
Oh yeah. God, yeah. I mean, I'd
just stick it on 200 and tape it down. You'd be the same as the F2.
Yeah, but that
I need that photo. That guy was I'm the most interesting man. I don't always shoot telephoto, but when I do, I use the 200 F2.
I shoot the 200 F2. Yeah, the most interesting man in the world, which those commercials have stopped.
Yeah.
Because somehow he got launched into space, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So now you don't see the commercials anymore. That was the end of that series.
Yeah. So his battery ran out.
So the other thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, since this is the day after the election.
Yes, let's talk about it.
It's political photography. I do. I photograph a fair number of politicians. I photographed the head of the Oklahoma Senate last week for a magazine.
That's the one you did on Altus.
In Altus, right.
Yes. I didn't know. We talked, but I don't know what I can bring up on the air since we don't freaking edit.
Yeah, we can talk about it.
So okay, good.
Deal. Yeah, I just can't show pictures, but I can talk about it all day long. And so, you know, I've shot, you know, U.S. congressmen. I've shot, you know, some of the NBA players. Anybody that's kind of a celebrity. And from my point of view, you know, as a photographer, you have to, to photograph those people, first off, you got to know your gear. You got to know your stuff.
Right.
You cannot be saying, hey, hang on, let me change this, or hang on, let me move this lighter. Mr. U.S. Congressman that's got, you know, 50,000 people waiting to talk to you. Hang on just a minute. Let me move this here around some. It don't work that way. You know, you cannot. They make more in a minute, you know, or not the political, but, you know, the basketball players, they make more in 5 minutes than we make in a year just about.
So, yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't be telling those people, hang on or hold this light or, you know, you got to be ready.
So do you already have a plan?
Yeah, you know, again, I'm not a news photographer, so it's a magazine, and it's usually editorial, and usually mm-hmm. we're trying to make them look decent or, you know, portray who they really are, kind of right. behind the scenes. And so you really go in and you, a lot of times, you only have 5 minutes with them. And so I will plan up. I'll do multiple setups, like I did Frank Lucas out at Congressman Frank Lucas out at the Yukon Horse thing, Clydesdale Place.
Express Ranches.
Express Ranches. I shot out there. Well, we went out there and we set up about 2 hours ahead of time. And I brought a bunch of lighting gear, and not to light a picture, but to light. Lit five different sets around the ranch. Had them pre-lit. I had an assistant. I shot the assistant in their place.
Right.
I had these general ideas. So when he got there, instead of me screwing around with lights, I could focus on building a rapport with him.
Yeah.
And bring him over here. Boom, boom, boom. Five shots. Boom, let's go to the next one. Five shots, go to the next one. And he was there probably a total of 15 minutes, and I got six different looks from my editors.
So you used the same trigger system throughout. Yeah. You just had one transmitter, and you just...
Yeah, just turn off. Yeah, you turn off the ones you're not using and just turn on the ones you are.
Which system was that?
Pocket Wizard.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But you want to have it all... I mean, we practiced and adjusted my lighting long before he got there. So when he was there, it's boom, 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 we're done.
You had everything set up with your assistant. You had your lights already set up. This is where it's going to be.
I shot pictures with the stand-ins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that stuff.
So you just walked him through a multiple studio without moving anything but him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. In 5 minutes. So I mean, 5 minutes, I had a bunch of, I had probably 200 photos with probably, like I say, five different sets.
Yeah.
And with slightly different positions and stuff in those
different
sets.
Backgrounds, blah, blah, right.
And just move on to the next one.
Were you able to use the same settings on the camera?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I had everything written down.
Okay, good.
So, I tested, man. I knew on this one I was going to take, as we're walking, I'm talking, I'm spinning my camera to the next settings.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay. They're all different.
I was wondering.
That's pretty cool. And, he brought up a really good point about building rapport with the client.
Right.
That's so critical. In my business, if you're a newspaper, you don't do that necessarily because you're just kind of being a fly on a wall. But I've photographed Toby Keith before. And you got to build a little bit of rapport. And then hopefully, a lot of times you're trying to meld into the background.
And
you can't stick a camera in their face and go click, 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 click.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you got to kind of, you want to kind of, there's portraits, and then there's lifestyle photography. So usually I'll set up and we'll do a portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Well, usually this last week, what I did is when I got down there, we're photographing a guy on his cotton farm, and we want the photos need to be him in his environment. He's a cotton farmer, and we're harvesting cotton right now. And so I met him at his house well before daylight, and we went out to
well before daylight.
Yeah, we went out to the cotton fields. And I sat there and talked to him. We waited on the sun come up. I didn't do any testing because light. I kind of, it's pretty bare bones setup, and mm-hmm. he's not, he's not like the president or something. He's lower down, so not quite as important.
He had a little more time. He's not listening to this podcast.
Yeah, he had a little more time.
He's not listening to this.
He's had a little more time than some of them do. But then when you get in there, so I use that time. I never bring out a camera. When I go to meet somebody, I leave the cameras in the car, go talk to them if I have time.
Yeah,
If they're not like some big, huge celebrity, if they're not, if you're photographing Russell Westbrook, you don't go up and talk to him.
And
photographing you have everything ready. You go here, boom, you're done. But for most of these people, you're trying to show who they are and get them relaxed.
And it'll show up in the photos. I was going to say earlier, it's going to show up in the photos if they're relaxed or in the moment or if they're
absolutely
whatever. It makes a lot of difference.
As a photographer, you've got to know your gear. You got to be able to spin dials and get settings on the fly without having to think about it. You cannot be thinking about your photo. You got to be thinking about the person, and so it's got to be second nature. I mean, Robert, it's probably the same way with weddings. I mean, you can't be dicking around with.
Yeah, I already know what the settings are before I even get there. I already know what I'm going to set my camera to. I just got to find the light that'll give me those settings.
Yeah.
And, we still struggle sometimes. You're in there and you go, oh, my God. my favorite one in weddings is when you, I love to do the rehearsals. Like, I tell them, hey, if I'm free, I'm going to come to your rehearsal and just take a couple of snapshots. And like, what I'm doing is I want to check the light.
Right.
So I always go talk to whoever's in charge of the lighting and say, hey, can you put the lights at exactly the place they're going to have for the ceremony? And they'll go, oh, this is the way it's going to be for the ceremony. Perfect. I'm doing like some light checks. Yeah. I got everything done. Day of the ceremony, I walk in and Terry will call me up and go, hey, I'm using these settings you gave me, and I'm like a half a stop or two stops underexposed. And I'll walk in, I'm like, oh my God, what did you do with the lighting? Oh, she didn't know what she was talking about. You know, this is the way it's supposed to be, and it's completely different. And then you got to
Yeah, you got to think on your feet to be able to change it. So,
that's kind of crazy.
Not only are you going to the rehearsal, I just want to say this, rehearsal to check the lighting, but you're also getting to see the dynamics of how the family works together.
You are correct. The family dynamic is very important.
Yeah.
And, of course, when you're dealing with one person, it's the dynamic between you and that person.
Right person, yeah. And so, you know, so for example, that photo down at Altus with the congressman, as the light's coming up, I'm talking to him. A fellow farmer pulls up, and they chat. You know, it's just right about probably 10 minutes before daybreak. So I kind of meld in the background, let them chat, and I just walk over to my car, grab my camera. I get some awesome sunrise photos of this congressman talking to a rancher or farmer in a pickup truck.
And what they would do normally.
What they do normally with that, and like I wasn't even there.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, you know, that was a great photo of that. And then I got him over, you know, I did some portraits with around the cotton fields because those are all popping out. But one thing I did is I brought a ladder. I learned to start bringing a ladder. So you can get elevated and get your little different view than you normally would.
A little different perspective.
Right. And then I would go from there, and I got him up in the tractor and the combine. And then, with your editors, you're trying to get different looks. You want to give your editors a lot of options.
Uh-huh.
You know, you don't want to send 27 or 150 photos of the same damn thing. Your editors don't like that. They want variety. They want what I call the hero shots, but they also want some variety.
Right, because they have to do a layout in the magazine. They need to have some different directions.
Right, usually shoot covers, so those are pretty well known, but they may use it for an inside table of contents. They may want to use it for the double page opening spread. You know, may want to use half page on another somewhere else. So you need a variety of pictures to tell the story.
You know, you just brought up really something that just kind of clicked in my mind because you were talking about the inside. What we call the double truck,
right?
Okay, so you know, I was having this conversation with another photographer and talking about, I had this double truck and this. They said, "Why do they call it a double truck?" I have no idea.
I don't know.
Do you know?
No, I always called it a double page spread, but I don't know why they.
Yeah, they call it a double truck. Yeah. But it's the middle. Is where the double truck is. You could have, if it's not in the middle, then it's a two page spread. But if it's right in the middle where you have your staples of the magazine normally.
Oh, really?
That's what they call the double truck.
Oh, and really? I'm like, it's premium space. Yeah.
Yeah, premium space, I guess. I'm like, I really don't know. I don't think that's in my AP style guide.
But, you know, then I had the idea of, you know, the cotton. They get these huge, big cotton things they compress the cotton down into.
Mm-hmm.
So I got him talked to. I said, you mind getting up in there? He goes, oh, I get up there. So when I was a kid, I used to get up there and stomp that cotton around. Nowadays, we have big power compressors to compress them down. I go, well, you might get them or stomping on some cotton. So he gets up there, and you know, I'm up on the top of the cotton bin, and he's way down the bottom with just full of cotton up to his bubbles to his waist in cotton, stomping around cotton. And I have him pick up some wholesome cotton. So he held a whole cotton, a big old handful of cotton out there, and you're shooting down on top of him in this big cotton bin.
That's cool.
And you know, it's
I think it's pretty cool. All I keep imagining right now is my allergies flaring up so bad that I can't even see.
We get that with wheat, but not so much cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton doesn't do that to you so much. But.
Well, you know, talking about these stories, what was your favorite story that you've done so far for a magazine? I mean, do you have one of many experiences that you've
had? I've had a lot of really, really fun stuff. There's some real heartwarming stories. Along the political spread, you know, since this is the day after the voting,
right? Yeah,
probably one of my favorite is hanging out with Frank Lucas out in. After I shot him for the Express Ranches, he's a U.S. congressman out in western Oklahoma. So he'll about almost half the state he is the congressman for the House of Representatives. So almost half because it's not very populated out west,
right?
and the other divided up by population. Mm-hmm. So, but physical land-wise, he covers almost the entire western U.S. I mean, western Oklahoma.
Wow.
And so, anyway, I got invited back to do another story, and I was supposed to follow him on the campaign trail for 2 days. And so I got to meet him out of his house in out in Cheyenne, Oklahoma. It's a cattle ranch out in the middle of nowhere, very modest place. And it was very heartening to see, you know, this, we all talk about how politicians are, you know, get them out of there, they're crooks and all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And, you know, when you get to spend 2 days with somebody, you see that's just not the case. They just may have different opinions than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's a super nice guy. He is, he gets up, I mean, his he has a very modest, probably 2,400 square foot house in a ranch out in western Oklahoma. He gets up on Sunday morning. And he drives to Oklahoma City, catches or he either spends the night in Oklahoma City or catches a red eye. He gets up Monday morning early, drives to Oklahoma City, catches a flight to Washington, D.C., and he works all week. And then when he comes up on Friday night, and he goes back out and works on cattle.
Gosh.
Unless he's campaigning, that's what he's doing.
Wow.
And, you know, and he's not.
Well, so he's not living. He's basically living and trying to work here.
Yeah.
But flying back and forth to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, he's probably a million-miler guy, you know. But,
yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, it's just, you see there are people just working like everybody else. And the people out there he knows just loves him, you know. You get to, all you go around to, we went to town hall meetings. And you know, he goes to all these, he does like 50 town hall meetings a year around Oklahoma.
Wow.
And, you know, he's just a hardworking guy. And it makes you feel good that, mm-hmm. you know, not, when we, I think we're, disingenuous back here when we hear sit here and bitch and moan and complain about
right.
Congress and
yeah.
the people we don't like, and we call them crooks and all this kind of stuff. And that's not necessarily the case. It's usually, I would tend to say it's almost as seldom the case. Usually, what it is, they have differences of opinions.
Well, mm-hmm. It's the media they, too.
Yeah, the media, right?
Yeah, the media is
very biased.
As we're talking to the editorial photographer,
well, that's different.
Yes, I'm very biased.
Well, believe me, I work in the editorial world, yeah, the media is, they don't even know it that they're so biased. They're left leaning biased, and that's just the way.
Not even the bias, but just how they edit stuff. I mean,
yeah, they most definitely
together
are,
to make it sound.
They're most definitely biased. I don't think they could. I think most media don't think they are,
mm-hmm.
but the people who listen to it sometimes can really tell that, and it's because of the other. You know, if you're a guy that's going to go to, you know, want to learn how to weld or how to run cattle ranch, you're not going to be thinking about journalism school. I mean,
right.
it's just to the young people gravitate to different things.
Sure, yeah.
That's true.
So.
That's pretty awesome stuff. Now, you did some, along the same lines of this style of photography you're doing, how do you get your clients? I mean, is there a particular way you market?
I love it because it's easy.
It's easy?
Yeah, because, you know, with wedding photographers and everybody else,
oh,
who's
God.
Your client?
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't know. Mm-hmm. Magazine photography, I can go right down to Barnes & Noble, and I can tell you who all my clients are. I can pick them out on a rack, and I can go down and I'll take my phone and go click, 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 click,
But how
click,
do
click.
You get them?
Well, that's you got to work at.
That's
but,
the work.
But they're a known number right there.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's a lot of magazines I work for that aren't on the rack, but mm-hmm. they're not hard to find.
Well, because there's a lot of magazines that are actually internal magazines that
internal,
use for, like, annual reports or whatever.
Or like trade organizations. Mm-hmm. I shoot a lot for trade organizations, like a builder magazine for all the home builders across the United mm-hmm. States. I shoot for them. And I just shot for a drum magazine, which all the drummers. And I shot for a...
Like drummers, like music drummers.
Music drummers, right.
Really?
Yeah.
Are there other kinds of drummers?
Yes, there's like 55-gallon steel drums that they put stuff in. So there's other words.
There's oil field, you know, oil field specialty magazines.
Oh, okay.
There's farming magazines. Those actually pay better. The specialty magazines like farming and
mm-hmm.
and you know, I do a lot with electrical utility industry. Those I think pay better and they give you more freedom than typically the bigger national magazines often do.
Sounds so, like you don't have a lot of competition in your area.
I don't know. You know. It's what the competition is. People don't know you. That's the challenge. Is you got to get them to know you and trust you that you can get a good job done. The nice thing with my deal with the market is it's a very known market.
Mm-hmm.
You can go find who they are, and then it's a matter of getting your name, getting your face out in front of them. You got to send them emails every now and then. You got to get postcards. Usually it's a referral. A lot of times it's, you know, these people know each other and they refer you back and forth. I got referred for a job today from another photographer. he couldn't shoot. He got hurt, and he said, "Hey, man, can you do this for me?" And I went out and did the job for him. And
that's awesome.
It was like he got hurt 2 days before the shooting.
Oh.
So they'd do the same thing for somebody else. So.
Yeah,
that's horrible.
Doug Hope's give me a couple jobs, and he's.
Doug is awesome.
Yeah, he gets busy with the paper. He likes to freelance, but he gets busy sometimes. He can't do them. He'll kick you at something, or I'll kick people jobs. And so it's kind of building your network.
So how did that shoot go the other day when you called me and needed help?
Which one? I've done so many.
You called me on it. I don't know.
I don't remember. I shot lots since then.
that's bad. Yeah. Well, when I did a little editorial, and I guess I'm going to call it editorial because it was for magazines.
Yeah.
They used to have the photographer's market that you would go buy.
Yeah.
Before I started the internet.
You know what I'm talking about?
Available anymore?
I think so. They still try to sell those databases. I paid for one of those for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I figured out this, with LinkedIn, I'm a big LinkedIn user. LinkedIn's huge.
Yeah.
Get a lot of contacts. I bought those magazines several times, and I think they're worthless.
They had like maybe 10 little articles, how to approach an agency, how to find the right market for a magazine. And then the article, it would tell you the magazine circulation,
their
address, who the point of contact was. But you had to buy them like every year to get the most current, current one. But the lights just go off. That's pretty awesome. So,
but basically, what I do is I have a CRM system to track all my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And I do, I go find out who they are. They're easy to find.
Right.
Pick the magazine, people I want to publish for, find out who the editor or the photo editor, whatever it might be. And then I figure out a marketing strategy. And then I try to implement that strategy for that person. So it's, sending emails, sending my brochures, sending my postcards, and, trying to stay in contact until you eventually, and then hopefully sometimes it's just dumb luck, I hear about you. Google.
You're going to say something, Jim? Go ahead.
I was.
Go ahead.
I think I know where you're going, but I'm going to.
You know where I'm going to go because we think the same.
Yeah. So you mentioned marketing.
Yeah.
Is that where you're going? Okay.
Yes.
So
yes,
you're very good with your website and your wife's website.
Yeah. My wife's a realtor. Being a realtor is way more competitive than being a photographer. I mean, it's cutthroat.
Well, I was just going to say, you do a great job with your SEO. You're very in on that.
Absolutely.
You know a lot about that
stuff. I've learned a lot of that.
Yeah. So you want to, was that what you were going to talk about?
No, but that's. Oh, okay. I think that's pretty good.
So you
no,
want to like just you touch
on, well,
just
if to I would,
briefly?
I've mentored recently a couple of young photographers. One of them, she's trying to get in the more prominent in the wedding industry. And I don't do weddings, but I can tell you how to get your SEO up in wedding photography, how I'd go about doing it. And she was. Did all that stuff, and we spent probably 6 months. We'd meet once a week, and I give her a few hints and tips, and she actually went back and did what I told her, and it's working really good. So
that's cool.
It's funny you say that because yesterday I was at the Rising Tide Society Tuesday Together meeting, my second time. I was out there with Tavia Redburn. Remember we interviewed her on the podcast?
Yeah.
And the subject was SEO, and I gotta tell you. Tavia has got her shit together. I mean, she pulled up her WordPress blog, started showing me some things, and we switched to Squarespace for easiness. Okay, I wanted easy, and it seemed like my WordPress website was constantly being attacked,
mm-hmm.
and I was constantly having brutal attacks. It was just it seemed like I was on my website every week fixing something.
Yeah.
So Squarespace, I haven't had any problem at all.
No.
Getting clients off of it.
I mean, we get a little bit.
My Google search results
have been pretty good, especially on headshots.
Oh, headshots, yeah.
Good, cool.
And,
SEO is not a, a lot of people like to think of it as a trick or there's no trick. It's just hard work.
But you're right. When I was looking at all the stuff she's, we were talking about the whole, SEO and blogging and had. So it was her and I, so two photographers, a calligrapher, and a hair and makeup lady. So you're talking about complete different industries. And the biggest difference is the work. You're exactly correct. It's not rocket scientists.
No.
You have to keyword this. You have to do this. You have to make sure you do blog posts regularly. You got to get content up. And if you don't
content's king.
It doesn't take long before you boop and you're done. But what I was going to bring up before, what I thought was really interesting, between, let's say, me as a wedding photographer and James, it's easier for him to identify his ideal client than it is for me.
Right.
So my ideal client is, you know, 22 to 26 years old, college graduate or in college, you know, medium level income, that's going to get married in a year.
Yeah.
That's a big bubble to pop.
You got a lot of potential people, but it's hard to find them.
And then I have to do basically social media to try and get those people to look at me, where you're actually doing direct marketing.
Direct marketing, right.
You know who it is. You got a phone number. You have a face. And now I can develop a marketing strategy to get that person's attention. That's
A little different.
That's a little bit different. It's definitely awesome.
Yeah. I think for me it's easier because I know who they are.
You know who it is.
With my wife on a real estate, we don't know who in the heck our clients are.
Yeah.
And so we have to have a really broad marketing with a lot of stuff because you're throwing out, it's like fishing in the blind, you know, you're throwing stuff out with no plan. We just got to, we kind of have a plan, but you're fishing wildly.
Yeah, you have a plan, but it's not really a plan.
Yeah, you're fishing for a lot of different stuff. And with our, and then Facebook and things like that. I mean, you guys doing Facebook ads yet? That makes it easier.
Okay, all right. So you know what? Let's bring up Facebook ads because I have done a few Facebook ads. And I've gotten some web traffic out of it, and I've gotten some likes on my Facebook page.
No
direct contact that I could say. You could always ask me, how'd you find me? Oh, I found you on Google.
Yeah, I don't do any of that for my work. I don't Facebook advertise for my work, but for my wife's, we do some. And we've had moderate success. I wouldn't say it's great. Our best success has been Google.
Mm-hmm.
Google advertising and direct, our SEO, really focused on the SEO. A lot of clients find us. She probably gets 3 leads a week.
Do you ever do any of that AdWords or anything that?
Yeah, Google AdWords.
Yeah, that's really complex. Facebook's way easier. But
Facebook seems, it seems pretty easy for you to pop an ad on there and do a very specific target market.
Yeah.
Like they now have. Before you could go for relationship status engaged, but now you can have it where it's engaged within 3 months, 6 months, or a year.
I think the problem you're going to get, though, with too many people, if you focus on your Facebook advertising or you focus your marketing efforts on Facebook, the problem you get with that is that I call it you're a sharecropper. You don't own your space in Facebook.
Right. Correct.
You own your website. Yep. That's yours forever, no matter what.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if you really need to focus your efforts on your website, and then cross post to Facebook and to LinkedIn and to wherever else you want to market to.
But link back to
your driving
page,
everything back to your website.
Right.
Because that's your property you own. And if Facebook changes or MySpace comes back or Snapchat, whatever it is, you still drive them back to your website.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that totally.
And you know what? This goes back to the same thing. Everything he's saying is, I know it.
Just gotta do it.
Because I tell people all the time, like, okay, do not post a whole bunch of photos to your Facebook page. Make a blog post and then link it to Facebook.
Right.
And then what does Robert do? it's in the middle of the night. I'm too tired. I don't want to do a blog post. I'll just post these images on Facebook so the bride's got something to look at for some teasers, and I'll go on down the road. And then like 2 days later, I'm slapping myself in the head because this thing's got all kinds of traffic going, and I'm not getting it on my website.
Right. Right.
But you're absolutely correct. That should be the hub of
all your marketing.
Everything is directed back to your website.
It's got to be that way. If you're not, you're crazy, I think.
One thing that was brought up yesterday at this little meeting with Tavia is, have you ever heard of this pixel thing?
Oh, man, I got them in my cameras.
It's when you advertise with certain companies, and I, for the life of me, after last night's election, I kind of lost out, but if you'll do something on Facebook, well, let's say you go to Amazon. So you go to Amazon and you do a search for a D700 or D3.
Yeah.
And you go to Facebook.
Oh, yeah, it's going to show you.
It kind of shows up, and it's called Pixel. There's something in that website on that web page of Amazon that is tracked by your browser.
Right, cookies.
Yeah, cookies, but they called it a pixel. I don't know why they did that. But now it kind of like brings you back. Like, hey, are you still thinking about this? And does this pop up? So I was kind of thinking about that because I would like the people that goes to my page to have reminders later when they go to Facebook. Yeah. Hey,
so
remember
James,
Trey,
you know anything about that?
You know anything about that?
Don't know that. No,
because I'm like, that. I'm curious
cool.
now.
Yeah. It'd be cool. Hey, get a headshot. You're all
I think it's, from my standpoint, you know, what you got to be careful. You can do all kinds of crazy marketing stuff that gets you relatively dubious of work. I mean, yeah. It's dubious of the payback. And if you're not doing your basics, then all that other crap's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Right. If you're a guru at Facebook, you're a guru at your website, you got the best website around, a lot of content, you're driving a lot of traffic, then you can try that esoteric marketing stuff. Mm. But if you're not doing the basics, you're wasting your time doing all this other crap.
Right, exactly. If your website's not going to support to have right. people there.
Yeah.
Right.
And so basically,
the good old everyday basics, you do those, you're going to get probably more work than you can. I mean, I got more work than I can handle, you know. It's just by doing your everyday, rocket
tell
science
us what
stuff.
Some of that basic stuff is.
Yeah, give us like the top five things you should be doing on your website.
Well you need to post. You need to put right regularly. And you know, if I'm a wedding, for example, wedding, I don't do weddings, but if I was doing a wedding photographer, I told this lady, don't write about, I wouldn't write about, oh, this is a beautiful wedding, you know, mm-hmm. it's just so cliche. You need to write about the vendors, write about the people, write about behind the scenes and, you know, how you got there late or how you got there early or how the flower person brought these beautiful bouquet of flowers and they, or maybe they had a one different rose in there or how the, you know, write.
So highlight other people.
Other people, right.
So in that writing, you include links back and
sometimes
stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Links, yeah, well, more links are better for
right,
sure.
Right.
But you link out to other sites a lot and maybe they'll link back to you,
right? Mm-hmm.
And you want to become a resource for people, you know, for ideas and you know, don't just talk about, I wouldn't write about just a beautiful wedding and a bride. I would write about how the story behind it, how they got together, how they got found out, how they discovered each other. I'd write about all those things, help with your SEO, just and about the wedding venue and the who made the cake and you know,
so it's the fluid flow and stuff. Fluid flow?
Fluid
it's
flow.
It's the flow of the
story.
The story and the spiders and stuff that Google goes and sees that.
Right, and pick your keywords. You know, these are the things I want to be found for. This is what I want to be known for. Pick out what your keywords are and make sure you weave those through your story.
Hmm. Yeah, which is always different than what we think.
Right.
So, you know, I would try and do keywords for, like, images. But I don't know any clients that type in, you know, good wedding images. They're going to type good wedding pictures.
Yeah.
Right.
So you got to look
think
for
like
those.
Your, yeah, you got to think like
think your like your client.
Yeah. Right.
Now, the other thing another tip would be when you put pictures up, you've got to absolutely have to caption them and put alt tags. If you just put their old picture with no caption, you are nuts because a picture drives a lot of traffic, but Google has no idea what that's a picture of. And so when people search for wedding photography or wedding photo,
index.
It has no idea unless you caption that thing.
So the alt tag is not just your name. It's
no,
going to be,
it shouldn't be
what
your name.
It is. What is that?
I usually copy the caption to the alt tag because it's just kind of lazy.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, the alt tag needs to be, you know what alt tag is. Yeah. Alt tag is if the picture
if
doesn't
the image
show.
Image doesn't show up or they have it set not to load.
Yeah, it'll have right. a little
a text there what yeah. it is.
Right.
And, and Google looks at that and goes, okay, well, that's what that image is. And so if your name, it's crazy because, you know, sure, if you want to sell to people that like Robert Trawick, I mean, get
then
after.
You're good to go.
Good to go. But, you know, that's not what you're after. You're after people on weddings. You need to be writing about that wedding.
So alt tags.
Alt tags and captions.
And captions. Now, can we can get some of that from Lightroom,
yes,
can't we?
Absolutely.
I think it'll import it all in.
It'll import it over. So if you're already using Lightroom.
I do all my work in Lightroom. And then when I import it, I use WordPress. But when I import it, it follows through.
So when you export from Lightroom, it's going to be embedded in that file. Yep.
Automatically.
Now, I can't remember. Does Lightroom have
I'm shaking my head, but I'm saying yes. So you can't see me.
Right. So is there, I can't remember, I should know this, but an alt tag field in Lightroom?
No, it's in the metadata.
But is there an alt?
I don't think there is. And when I say alt tags, I don't think it passes over alt tags. It'll pass over captions and the name of the image and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
but
the
alt tag,
you caption,
have to, I copy and paste it.
Into what?
I copy out of the caption into the alt tag.
Into the field on WordPress.
On WordPress, right.
Right. Okay, so in Lightroom, what we see is the metadata on how we set up our catalog.
Right.
Okay, so I think that comes over. But there's also, if you open up that metadata in Lightroom in the catalog, you can go down to the IPCT data.
Right, correct.
And inside there is where you can put your copyright information, your address, your telephone number,
right.
And then the caption.
Right, captions.
Yeah.
And I believe that once you write that down, like say yours would be generic, where it would be like, you know, Jim Felder Photography, Real Estate, Oklahoma City, Edmond, Bethany.
Right.
You could have something like that. I think you can use the spray can to spray the images.
Yeah.
And to add all of them. Then when you export at the bottom... And I hadn't done this in a long time, and I talked to James about this. We got in this conversation. I think it's been a couple of months ago. I didn't want anybody knowing my settings of my cameras, lenses, or if I was using flash or whatever the case may be. So I exported out.
I don't know why you would care.
I don't know. It was like I teach all that stuff, but for some reason I was paranoid about it.
Oh, yeah.
So I just went ahead and exported copyright only from Lightroom. So at the very bottom, when you do the export, you can say what you want to export data-wise.
Mm-hmm.
So I recently changed that to metadata, and that stuff kind of just goes right over into that. But I think you're right. I don't think the alt tags come over.
Yeah,
you have to type that in
right,
yourself.
Right, I believe you do, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so I'll in Lightroom, I'll put just kind of generic captions, and once I pull them into WordPress, and I'll usually go in and tweak them because – you know, because I want them to be a little bit different and more specific.
Right. So, each one, you want them to be different than this one.
And you know, so those are a couple tips to do, you know, but it's just the basics. And then,
okay, that's another tips. Come on, you got three more to go.
I got another tip is to do it regularly.
Yeah, I mean,
these are
I'm
all
just
basic stuff.
Okay,
what
these.
Is regular, too? Is it once a month, once a week?
Well, twice a week.
Twice a week?
Once to twice a week. Okay. Every time you do something. Yeah.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on this?
How often do you post to Facebook?
All the time.
Okay. You should be doing that on your website.
True.
And not Facebook.
Yeah. Dude, just hit my hand now. Go ahead.
Okay,
ow!
Here's the thing, though. Well, okay, does WordPress have an app that you can go and do that easily?
Yeah, on your app. Yeah.
Okay, but what he's saying is if it was easy, we'd all rank number one on Google.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's not rocket science. It's just the same.
It's hard work.
What are your thoughts on this? So let's say once a month or once a week or whatever.
Yeah, if you're doing once a month,
okay,
goodbye.
Well, hold on.
That's 12 posts a year.
Right.
That's a joke.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you do once a day. Twice a day.
Let me finish. Okay. So on Sunday, I go in and I write a bunch of posts.
Yeah, great.
A bunch of blogs.
You schedule them out.
And I schedule them out. That's the same thing as doing
that works.
It. Okay.
That works great.
Okay, good.
And
I'm
then,
glad to know that.
And then, of course, I don't know in Squarespace, but in WordPress, you can have WordPress post to Flickr and to Facebook and all these other places, LinkedIn.
But they're all linked back to your website.
Right.
Yep. Your website is still the hub of your marketing scheme.
Yeah, so that's the other – so that's my other tip is – there's a lot of plugins like the Jetpack is the main one that allows you to link out to all these different sites. Mm-hmm. And so that way you make one post and it goes out to 20 places. It helps drive traffic.
Automatically.
People think I'm busy on Twitter. I never use Twitter.
Yeah.
But I post from my website all the time. And so it shows up in Twitter. Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. I use Buffer as well to do share posts of other people or my own stuff, and it does the same thing.
And this is the thing, and we've talked about this.
But I buffer my own blog posts.
You do.
That's what I'm saying.
You do.
Yeah.
On your website.
Yeah, but not enough.
I don't. I think the last one I had on there was from like 4 months ago, so I'm probably down on page 20 again.
Oh.
Google has forgotten about me.
Yeah.
I'm done. It's just like I'm at the bottom. And I had a couple of good posts, too. And then I had some, like, really good traffic, some nice numbers. And then it was like, I'm busy.
But
you're right. It's the work. You got to – now, do you have a way that reminds you, or do you just automatically – have been doing it so long now it's a habit?
Yeah, it's a habit, yeah.
So it's
me,
a habit.
So what is your
I sit on – well, yeah, I try to set the computer – you know, I usually get up pretty early in the morning, and I'll just pop up, and I'll quickly look at – you know, my email, and I quickly look at Facebook, and I got to be real careful because, you know, as we all know, you get sucked into Facebook
my God,
big time.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I'll try to check it very first thing, get it out of the way, get it off my screen, turn it off. And then during the day, I try to work, you know, focus on our web, you know, in the mornings, before I go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I work from home, so that's real nice. I can just go back there and I'll go try to do blog posts, or I'll try to do some work on our website or something. And I usually set some goals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll have a few goals written down. I try to make sure I do something on real key every day. You know, one
big rock that needs to get moved.
Right. One big thing. It may not get moved, but it needs to be nudged every day.
The progress.
Right. Mm. See some progress on one thing every day. You know, and so, you know, you just got to keep pushing. And then I'll go out and do my work after that. So I'll go out and, you know, and then usually in the night I come back in. I may check a little bit. But kind of in the evening for me is my playtime. A lot of times I'm creatively worn out.
Right.
And so I don't want to write a post. I want to
do that. What do you do on your playtime?
You know, I do not watch TV. I have not watched TV.
I was going to say, do you watch TV?
No. Yeah. I just can't stand to watch TV. I try to watch a movie and it just, you know, I'm.
Fire up the Xbox or something?
No. I like to do something creative, but I'll do leather work.
Oh, okay.
And so I'll do some leather work.
Really?
I like to work on my shop.
So what about welding? Are you doing some welding?
I'm starting to weld, learning how to weld.
What have you welded? Are you going to do some welding art? Like
I'm learning how to do TIG welding, the real high precision. Because I've welded for years. I used to work in high school as a welder. And through college, I paid my way.
Oh, really?
Worked for a company welding. So I'm pretty. I used to be a pretty decent welder, and you know, skills got rusty, and I'm trying to pick them back up. And then I'm learning how to TIG weld, which I never did do. And that's the real high precision, real fine. You weld stainless steel. I welded razor blades together the other day.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty thin. You go too hot on that thing, you'll melt it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So that's pretty precision type stuff right there.
I haven't got to figure out how to weld a beer can together, but I got friends that do. You know, they're able to. He wins bar bets all the time because they bet if you can't weld a beer can, they'll go cut one and he'll weld a beer can and put fluid in it and it won't leak.
Wow. So is it still a
wow?
I'm not a welder at all, but I don't know anything about it. But I just know there's a flame involved. Is it still?
Well, it's electric arc.
Electric arc. Okay. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Okay.
Yeah, this is the one like you see on the back, all these farm trucks. Looks like a big generator with big handles and stuff.
No, those are more usually big stick welders. The TIG welders are a lot smaller. Mine is about the biggest of a box here.
Really?
My TIG welder. Huh. Yeah, and you plug it in and you got this real fine precision type welding. You weld titanium and
do you still use the material like the.
Well, with TIG welding, you do. We're going to get off subject here.
I know.
I think it's awesome.
Okay, well, TIG welding, you use a TIG electrode, and you use a foot control like a throttle to control your heat, how much heat you're putting into it.
Huh.
Then you use a filler rod, a long filler rod, and you're feeding it in. So it's like playing drums. You know, you got to use your foot, your hand, and all of it at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna be good with that because you ride a motorcycle. So
I'm working on it.
You have to use all kinds.
Right now,
of
they're
stuff.
Pretty ugly. My welds aren't very good, but. Anyway,
So
my rest time is doing things that are not. I like to do creative things, but not things that are pay money or, you know, I kind of need to relax. I hate wasting time. I hate watching TV.
Like downtime.
Yeah. I do read some. I like to read. But.
Let me just say this. Listen to what he's saying, Robert Trawick. Okay. Do you hear what he's saying? He actually. Hold on. Don't say anything. He actually. What did you say? Leather work.
Yeah.
He does some leather work.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with photography.
No. But no. Here's the thing. Shh. It's creative.
Exactly. But you, to my
me,
friend, you,
no,
it's
no.
all photography.
That's what I do. Everything
I get
that
it.
I have
but
is
you
all
gotta,
photography.
You got to break away from the norm and do something different because that, in turn, could also.
For a stress reliever for me.
Yeah,
you know, I had a heart attack. I had a heart attack a few years ago.
I remember that.
Almost died. The doctor said I was like 3 seconds from dying, and you know, it's a major life changing event. And that's I decided I got to do something to release stress. And if you focus too much on stress, I mean, if you focus too much, you can get stressed out. So this doing things other than photography or other than writing, that's kind of my. Way to de-stress. I'm not having to think about.
Yeah.
See, I never de-stress.
That's why I told him.
Always photography.
We need to go see a movie or we need to go do something. And he's like, on our birthday, because we have the same birthday, let's go do that. No, he wants to go shoot pictures. And I'm like, let's go do something else. Like,
no, because for you,
fishing
that's
or...
still photography. To me, I either am working for a client or I'm de-stressing taking photos that I want to take.
I totally get that.
My other hobby that's a de-stressor relief is film photography. So that's shooting strictly for me. Have no paying clients. That is stuff I want to shoot the way I want to shoot it.
And the stuff that maybe no one's ever going to see.
Right.
I have a huge catalog of Lightroom stuff that I have looked through, have shot. Yeah. Matter of fact, I was out shooting last week at nighttime by myself. I went out for an hour, 50 mil lens, took some shots, and you know, I put them in the Lightroom. I thought, well, that's kind of cute, and that's kind of, and then I'll probably never look at them again.
Yeah.
But it was that time for me. But I'm just different. I'm wired different, Jim.
Yeah. Some people, I mean, whatever it is that you, I think you need to de-stress somehow.
And,
you know, for me, that's the way I de-stress.
My de-stress also is riding the motorcycle. So when I get, and you can ask the family, when I get really wound up tight, it could be 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, putting my leathers on, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going for a ride.
Motorcycles are heaven. Holy smokes.
Oh, my God. Aren't they?
Oh, man.
And I have I live in Mustang, so what I'll do is I'll head out to Minka, or Union City.
Yeah.
I'll head north on 81 all the way to it hits Northwest Expressway.
Yeah.
Come all the way down to 44, come all the way back down to 40, and then take Mustang Road. And it's about a 60-some-odd mile ride.
Isn't it a great time to think?
Yes, yes.
Because you're not doing anything. Time to think, right?
Also, you're not, you don't have access to any technology except for your motorcycle.
Yep, you can't.
No, you can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's for me, it's a thinking time.
Yeah.
I don't even play music anymore. I sometimes do. I usually leave the music off because this is my time to be quiet and think. Yeah.
I do that in the car, and it drives my kids nuts. They cannot, like, Shannon is learning how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
And she's actually probably, she doesn't listen to the podcast, but she's probably the best driver out of all my girls, okay? By a long shot. As soon as she gets in the car, adjusts her mirrors, side mirrors, turns the freaking radio on. Yeah. And I'm like, can't you drive without, no, I have to have it.
Some people, that's the way they do it.
They have to have that, they have to be bombarded by all of this stuff to feel normal.
Yeah, that's true.
Does that make sense? But after you ride a motorcycle for a while, I don't even listen to radio in the car.
My wife can't go to sleep with a TV on. And I cannot sleep with
I can't either.
I have no TV in the bedroom.
It can't be anything that I can actually hear and listen to and like have it go into my brain. But what I do listen to sometimes is either a fan on or I have an app called Ambient.
Yeah, Ambient.
It's like background noise, you know.
Yeah,
I sleep like a baby with that stuff.
For sure, that's probably, she hears me snoring. That's probably her way to
drown you out. Yeah. Okay, well, before we wrap this up, we want to thank you so much for coming out again, because you're a wealth of information, and I'm just going to put you on the spot because, well, that's what I do.
Yeah. Well, Bedford's is great. We like Bedford. They're doing a great job here. So.
Oh, yeah, Bedford's does great, yeah. We have talked off and on for 3 years about a workshop at a group campsite.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
And I think that we need to try and get that going one of these days. I was down at Red Rock Canyon, and they have a little, you know, the community type thing where you can have, like, you know, we can just have basically workshops around the campfire.
I think it'd be awesome.
I think it'd rock.
I think it'd be great.
So you would be willing to, like, you know, talk about some editorial photography.
Absolutely.
And
I love
how to like that.
I love mentoring people, especially young, not always young, but young beginners.
So what's the age group you're looking for?
I don't care. Just
young photographers.
Yeah, well, they're young in their career, probably is more of a word, because they can be old and young, doesn't matter. But cause I didn't start till I was 35, 40. But just people who are just getting started, I love mentoring them.
I like helping people when they have a drive.
Yeah.
I can teach you lighting. I can't teach you passion.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking to do this because you want to make a whole bunch of money, well, you're probably in the wrong career field to begin with.
Well, I think a workshop would be great, because what I'd like to see is go to one where you can have multiple
disciplines.
Disciplines, right.
Yeah.
And kind of move between them and see what you like. And
That'd we could cool. have Jim there teaching how to do house real estate photography.
Okay.
Buy the most expensive wide-angle lens you can. Level the tripod out.
If you do it somewhere like a Romano State Park, you could have some stuff in the, you know, shoot inside the.
Right.
They have that beautiful lodge there.
Yeah.
Yes,
and that new lodge, that beautiful place down at, they're building a brand new lodge down at the one down south of Ardmore.
Hang on.
What's that lake called?
Lake Texoma.
No.
Hang horrible. On. Lake Murray.
Murray,
that's it.
That brand new lodge will be opening in February, and it's going to be stunning.
That's the one that has, that from the lake, you have the tower, isn't it?
Yep. Tucker Tower.
Tucker Tower, that's it.
Yeah, and they got motorcycle riding and horseback riding and water sports. That'd be a great, because you have all kinds of action stuff going on. Do a weekend photo meet. They got the rooms. You learn how to photograph, teach how to photograph housing.
Another thing, too, is Jim is really good about post-processing.
Yeah.
Like, he could be, he's the HDR guy.
Yeah. But just so I have an actual bed to sleep in in a room.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Real nice lodge.
I'm not an outdoor guy. I'm done with that stuff.
Well, they have both.
Yeah.
You can camp or you can stay in a lodge or you can stay in a cabin.
No, we'll do a room because, I like to camp. I enjoy it. My body doesn't.
Now, I'll take that back. We won't go there. Hey, it's an hour. We're over an hour.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. Well, where can we find you at, James?
James-Pratt.com or Google me, because I am really good at Google.
Google James-Pratt.com. Photographer. It's James-Pratt.
It don't matter. If you Google James Pratt Photography, you're going to find me.
It's going to happen.
Me as well, JimFelder.com. You can Google Jim Felder or Photography Jim Felder, whatever.
And if you Google Robert Trawick, you'll get a lot of stuff from Brittany, which is Matt was married one time to my cousin. Seriously, because he was like the manager. So it's not really me. But all right, so thank you so much for being on the show, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Cool.
Take us out there, Jim.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're good. Thank you.
Oh, I love it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next time.
Visit our world headquarters at PhotoFactsPodcast.com.